For some listeners, a playlist featuring artists like Jack Johnson, Brett Dennen, Cat Stevens, and Bob Marley might seem like an arbitrary shuffle. But for one project, which breaks down music at the most fundamental level, it is far from it. Call me to come in with a crooked crescendo, but I don't. On January 6, 2000, Tim Westergren, the founder of the Music Genome Project, set out to capture the essence of music at the most fundamental level. They ended up assembling literally 400 musical attributes, or genes. In an NPR interview, he said that taken together, these genes capture the unique musical identity of a song.
What we've done actually is, using people, trained musicians, we've listened to now an enormous amount of music and analyzed each individual song based on its distinct musical properties, as you mentioned, close to 400 unique musical characteristics.
A list of those musical attributes can be found on Wikipedia. Each song is read and broken down.
We're capturing everything from melody and harmony to rhythm, form, compositional qualities, lyrical content. It's really a detailed taxonomy of music. So essentially capturing all the details that give a piece of music its individual sound or style.
For example, Westergren compared a song by the Counting Crows called A Long December with its musical neighbor, Ben Arthur's Twilight. Drove up to Hillside Manor sometime after 2 a.m. and talked a little while about the year. A pile of shadows and broken glass. A shimmer born on the air. So
there are many elements that make these what we call musical neighbors. There's instrumentation, there's melodic contour, there's similar harmony. They're both very diatonic. But there's one particular element that I think is quite intriguing. They both avoid resting too much on the tonic, which is the root chord. And the effect of that to a listener is to create something of a meandering quality. And that's not something that maybe as a layperson you would be aware of, but you would not know what to call it, but you'd be aware of that in the song. And that's actually a characteristic of both of those artists.
It's not about what a band looks like or what genre they supposedly belong to. It doesn't even depend on who buys their records. It's about what each individual song sounds like. The result of the project has been Pandora, an online radio station. Users can enter a song or artist, and the program will play other artists and songs that share musical attributes.
Every song can be understood along these many, many dimensions, and what we're really trying to do is capture anything about a piece of music that might be a reason why somebody likes it.
I began by creating a Jack Johnson radio station. The station identified a couple of the musical attributes, which were taken into consideration in compiling the other songs on the station. This Jack Johnson song is called Breakdown. The station identified some of its musical attributes as mellow rock instrumentation, mild rhythmic syncopation, acoustic sonority, major key tonality, and a vocal-centric aesthetic. So the next song on the radio is Brett Dennen's She's Mine. Right off the bat, you notice that Brett Dennen shows a couple of the attributes listed for Jack Johnson, such as mellow rock instrumentation, mild rhythmic syncopation, and acoustic sonority. She's mine. She's mine. Pandora also lists folk influences and a vocal-centric aesthetic for Brett Dennen, two attributes that are certainly found in Johnson's music as well. The Dennen selection does not appear to be a stretch. It's essentially a selection from a similar sound and genre. But a couple selections are less obviously connected to Johnson. Westergren said that genre is not how songs are identified, and the next few selections certainly exhibit that. The song Wild World by Cat Stevens appears to deviate a little further from Jack Johnson, at least upon first listen. So what characteristics might a fan of Jack Johnson enjoy in the Cat Stevens selection? Though not listed initially for Johnson, folk influences arises as one of the similarities for all three song selections. Wild World also shares major key tonality and acoustic rhythmic guitars. The major key tonality is much less established in the Stevens song, but it does share mild rhythmic syncopation and mellow rock instrumentation. But what about a song from a completely different genre than Cat Stevens? The Music Genome Project also identifies Jack Johnson and Bob Marley as musical neighbors. No, Both the Johnson and Marley selection use mild rhythmic syncopation, which is common in many of their songs. Johnson's acoustic guitar tunes are often reggae-tinged, echoing Marley's famous sound. Marley, however, makes much more use of extensive vamping and groove-based composition. But in the end, it doesn't seem like a stretch to group together Bob Marley and Jack Johnson either. In fact, Jack Johnson has worked with Ziggy Marley on many songs and albums. Though one might not consider Cat Stevens and Bob Marley to be musical neighbors, all three seem to complement one another as musical neighbors. Music fills the space between the deities. There are a few attributes that have been shared by all three selections. All feature male vocalists and center around a vocal-centric aesthetic. This goes to show that breaking down individual songs to their musical components might be a more expansive and effective way of categorizing music and preferences, rather than an all-encompassing genre. After sampling many more of the song selections from the Jack Johnson station, I decided that many of the songs did fall into my preferences, regardless of genre. I think that Pandora serves as a great example of grouping music together in a very holistic way. By looking at music as a sum of multiple different attributes, I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of music and gained a much more expansive appreciation as a result.